G'day, g'day, g'day. Welcome all to the Average Man Podcast, episode 21, Detachable Penis. I'd like to do a few shout-outs before I get underway. Shout-out, as always, to Shafted Spearfishing, the local fishing crew here in town. Get hold of those guys on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Check out their page. Like them, share them, get behind them, and support them. I'd also like to shout out to Captured by Carlos, an Average Man Podcast alumni and a local photographer here in town. Also, get hold of him on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Check out his photos of the Pilbara and abroad. He's a brilliant photographer with a really good passion for life, and I love the way he tells a story through his photos. So get hold of Carlos on any of those formats and give him a follow, like, and a share. Also, I'd like to shout out to Two Way Hire Services. They're a Perth-based company. It's just providing everything two-way radio base for you. So whether you need to hire them or buy them or whatever, or service your existing material, equipment, get hold of Ross on Instagram or Facebook for all your two-way radio servicing needs. Also, Samat Carpentry and Construction. These guys are a local carpentry construction team. Yeah, they are just basically some reliable carpenters who do what they're going to say when they're going to do it. They do high quality work, and they're competitive on their rates. They're not going to rip anybody off or anything like that. And it's hard to find those traits in a lot of carpenters and construction companies in town. So get hold of the boys for any building needs that you guys may need, building or maintenance. And lastly, but not least, I'd like to shout out to PCC Productions, the audiovisual specialists. Brad Holder from PCC hooked me up with this week's guest, who is William James Smith. The dude's written a great one-man musical, and I thought I'd get a hold of him and have a chat with him and do a bit of an interview. And the guy really didn't let me down, man. He was a really good chat, really interesting, funny guy, man. I could have spoken to him for another hour easily, but unfortunately life has time restraints sometimes, so I had to kind of wrap it up where we did. But just a great conversation, great guy. Yeah, really fun, really enjoyed this one. So without any more preamble, I'll just hit play on the next segment, and you guys can get to know Brad William James Smith for yourself. So yeah, Average Man Podcast, episode 21, Detachable Penis. Here we go. G'day, g'day, g'day. Welcome, men and women, average men and women, to episode number 21 of the Average Man Podcast. This is Detachable Penis. Today's guest, I have William James Smith. And I was going to ask you, that's what your profile name says, William James Smith, and that's what do you like to be called? William James
that's
Smith?
That's it. Or, yes, please. Yep. William James Smith.
When I'm
doing theatre and this entertainment, I like to be called William James Smith.
William James Smith, good name.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir.
Good, strong name.
I like it, yeah. Well, took me a while to get used to. I mean, when your name's Will Smith...
Hey, nice, I didn't even put it together, mate.
Right, yeah, I go through my life, you know...
So, getting jiggy with it,
man in
black,
yeah.
I was expecting someone with more of a tan or whatever.
But it's like, so whenever I write my name down, I never write Will Smith, I put
William James,
and then Smith, and then the word James in between,
breaks it up.
Right,
see... Well, it worked with me, mate.
Right, so. Fools them for just long enough for me to get away.
Like, I actually saw it as William James, and then I go straight to your profile, it says William James Smith, and I was already thinking about, okay, do I call him William? Do I call him William James? How do I speak to this dude? It threw me off. I didn't even think about Will Smith.
That's the plan. The plan, yes. Also, of course, the three name thing is a bit of theatrical wank that I like to indulge in. They're like Andrew Lloyd Webber. Everyone thinks Lloyd is hyphenated Lloyd Webber. It's just his real name.
Also, serial killers always have three
names. Oh, they do?
Yeah. Serial killers always
have
three
names. I guess
that's
positive. Yeah. Well, they're famous, I guess.
Yeah, they are.
They're well-known people. Yeah. It's not for possibly
look
the right
into
reasons.
It. Look into it.
Oh, there you go.
So, I'm fine people being sensitive about names, mate. My first name's actually Warren, but I go by Dave, David, so this is my middle name.
Warren.
So, Warren's my first name, yeah. So
that is a respectable Australian-sounding name.
What's
just
that?
Because you know, your name means the same as, like, where rabbits hang out.
Where rabbits live, yeah.
That's,
I've got two older
I'm allowed
brothers.
To do this. Uncle Will Smith. I'm allowed to give people shit for their names, right?
I'd be called Wazza if I stuck with Warren. So I'm glad my brothers didn't like it when I came home from the hospital. Refused to call me Warren, so we went with a middle name. It's the best thing they ever did for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like me. When I came home, I was Bill Smith.
Bill Smith.
Right.
Who was calling you Bill?
Well, thankfully, no one, because my aunt found out that my name was William and my last name is Smith, of course, and it's like, all right, there's enough Bill Smiths in the world, he's going to be Will.
Yeah.
And so she instilled everyone that my name was Will, which
has
the downside of being called Willie.
Yeah, okay.
But it's better than just being another Bill Smith.
Bill Smith is a little bit nondescript, really, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, no disrespect to all the Bill Smiths out there, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But
hey, we love you, Bills. But how old are you, roughly? What roughly? You can tell me exactly. You're not a woman. How old are you? How old are you?
I was born in the 70s.
Were you?
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So then Will Smith wasn't a thing when you were born anyway.
No.
That happened as
I
you
I had
were
about 20
up.
Years of peace. And then he changed his name from the Bloody Fresh Prince to Will Smith when he became an actor.
Hey, at least he's a legend.
He's pretty awesome.
He's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool, yeah. I mean, Men in Black is funny. Very funny, yeah.
It could have been worse, you know, Tom Cruise or something like that. Someone who's a little bit of a wanker, you know, it would be worse.
Yeah, the whole Scientology thing, yeah.
Good actor, just a little bit of a wanker.
Yeah.
So, what's happening, dude? You've been out at the cattle station this weekend? Was that what was going on?
Oh, yeah. I've gone full Pilbara.
Yeah.
I'm a medical student, and I've been up here for the third year of my course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
doing your practical placement at health campus here.
And in the middle of the year, instead of flying back to Perth, I decided to go mustering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Yarri Station.
You just met somebody, like, through the hospital, or?
Kind of, yeah. I went randomly camping out to Cape Croydon and met some other random people. Yeah, lovely spot. And you just, you know, I think you end up sort of making these opportunities. We just talked to these random people who said there's a start of muster party next week at the Ironclad in Marble Bar.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. You should go to that.
So you go down to this party and then start talking to people about
that's right.
Yeah, about doing some mustering, helping out.
Yeah, that's right. We met Annabelle Coppin, who owns Yarri Station.
Yeah.
Lovely lady. And I think the most hardworking person I've ever met in all my years.
Yeah.
And she's so warm and welcoming. She said, come on down anytime. And so I'm like, I took her up on it.
Great.
And
good
so,
opportunity.
Yeah.
And this was a return visit? So this is the second or third time you've been
This is
there,
the is only chance I've had to go back
to
say good day again and cheerio for now.
Yeah.
And visited Coppin's Gap. It's a lovely sort of billabong in the hills.
And beautiful.
Lovely spot. Yeah, just went hiking and we were very lucky. Very mild weather, really.
You've been really lucky with
Super
the weather.
Lucky.
So I think it's warming up this the end of this week, finally, you know, in December, which
is
crazy.
How weird. Yeah, exactly. The summer began, and yet we're sort of, like, still hiking in the middle of the day without, like, passing out. It's pretty
October's normally when it starts to blow out. November's a write-off, you know, but it's just been beautiful with that wind coming in, so
can't
complain.
Beautiful breeze, yeah. So, yeah.
What else have you been doing? You're up here as a medical student. You're from Perth, you said? So.
Yeah, look, I think of myself as from Perth. I was actually born in Brisbane.
Okay.
But I moved to Perth when I started uni a long time ago. And all the mates that I still have, with the exception of one bloke, are all from Perth.
Yeah.
Because when I moved to Perth, back in the day, I sort of fell in love with rock and roll and had my first band and stuff like that and so the guys from that band are still my mates and
cool.
And that's kind of where I learned to have a good time is Perth. It's a good place to have a good time.
You're based, your heart's in Perth, you're kind of based there.
That's how it's worked out. Yeah.
And you say you played in a band. Did you play open up at the Northwest Fest at all? Were you involved in that?
I did.
You did, yeah. I thought I saw your name on the bill there at one stage. So what do you play?
It's like,
were you playing
this,
in a band?
Who's this asshole? Calls himself William James Smith. Oh, what a wanker. Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't a band. It was a solo performance.
Okay.
I sang and played the viola.
Okay. Sang and played the viola.
Yeah, like a viola is a fat violin, right?
Yeah, some sure. Of you,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's between a violin and a cello.
Yep.
And
medium size.
That's right, yeah. And it goes a little bit deeper, so you can sort of play rhythm, like sort of rhythm guitar on it, and accompany yourself. And what I played was songs from a musical that I'd written a couple of years back.
Sure.
Essentially, I wrote a musical about the Anzacs.
Okay.
I was very lucky. I got a grant. I was living in Melbourne at the time. I got a grant from the Anzac Centenary Committee and the Victorian government to put this on as part of the Anzac Centenary in 2015.
Okay.
And the songs were all written, and I got them properly orchestrated, and we recruited a cast, and we put this show on. And I'm extremely proud of it because it had pyrotechnics.
Yeah, okay.
We had, like, flamethrowers. I'm not shitting you. Flamethrowers across the front of the stage, across the back of the stage. We had flares. We had, like, machine guns that were, like, firing sparks.
Jeez, a metal show.
It was awesome. I'm so glad we just asked for, like, $5,000 in the budget for pyro.
Yeah,
and
nice.
We met this dude, and he just, like... Oh, it was just the best thing
ever. Pyrotechnics are crazy. Aren't they?
It was just so great.
They're crazy.
They're insane. This guy's mental.
You don't have to egg him on very much.
No,
you know?
Not at this all. We had to like hold him back. He threw in all this stuff like explosives. Like I was playing the lead character, and you know, people would shoot me in the chest, and like the shirt would like burst open.
Oh, shit.
And they'd be like, "Blow the pyro." It's like, make sure you put that charge the right way around.
Yeah, so
because otherwise it'll blow into your chest. Okay,
yeah.
I'm like, okay,
that'll,
cool.
That'll be the end of the musical. Yeah.
It was, we had such a good time. It was called Jacka VC.
Jacka VC.
Legend of Gallipoli.
Okay, cool.
And this is a guy who I believe all Australians should know who this
Educate
man was.
Me.
People in the military know who Albert Jacka was.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first Australian to win the Victoria Cross, or to be awarded the Victoria Cross in the Great War. He did it for an action. He got it for an action at Gallipoli.
Yep.
In which he single-handedly cleared the Australian trenches of Turks.
Wow.
There was about a month after the Gallipoli landings, on May the 19th, if I'm not mistaken, the Turks had stopped the Australian advance on that first day.
Yes.
Famously, right? And then there was a stalemate.
Yeah.
And then the Turks got enough men to the front line to try and push the Australians, New Zealanders, British, Indians, whoever else, back into the sea.
Yeah.
And they stormed the Australian lines in these huge numbers, and the Aussies managed to repel them at every point except one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where Albert Jacka was. They actually got into the trenches and... started wreaking havoc. I mean, if you're firing sideways through the trenches, I mean, there's no protection.
Yeah.
I mean,
far superior weaponry as well. So.
Right. Yeah. And so Jacka showed a lot of initiative and a lot of daring, and he convinced his commander to let him run around the back. And whilst there was a distracting fire on one end of the trench, he jumped into the trench, lobbed a grenade, and bayoneted three Turks and shot five and captured the rest all on his own.
Wow.
So he's a brave guy, and he's basically, his history is great as badass.
If Australia history is great as badass, and if that was an American story, there'd be a movie about him already.
My oath there
I've
would.
I've got a bit of a problem with that we don't tell our own story here enough in this country. We listen to other people's stories and watch American stories and English stories, and there's all these great stories that are untold, and people are trying their best to get them out there. You know, you obviously you're one of them, But I just think there's so much history and culture here that doesn't get spoken about, doesn't get put into a theatrical, you know, form, but that people can digest it and get to know it and get behind it and start talking about our own history, our own culture, our own stories, instead of having to live off other people's all the time, you know.
Right, exactly. And there's lots of ways to do it. It doesn't necessarily always take much money. And people, it's very difficult. It can be. I get a bit frustrated about it myself, as you can probably sense.
Yeah.
I put a lot of work into that show.
I bet you did. Yeah.
And we're really proud of what we achieved. And one day, who knows, it might get put on again.
Yeah.
But
this is what you performed. So I was a slimmed down reenactment of this at the Northwest Fest.
That's exactly right.
And was it on the Sunday? Did you open on the Sunday?
Yeah, opened on the sort of family friendly day.
Yeah, the Sunday.
About 4 in the afternoon, 4:30 or something. And I played about 6 songs in a half hour set from Jack of EC, Legend of Gallipoli, and they were sung by different characters in the story.
Okay.
And so that was a really awesome experience for me. I had a great time. Yeah. I'm really grateful to Brad Holder.
That's what was going on. I would have got there a bit earlier to watch it. I was a little bit dusty from the night
before. Oh, the night before. Yeah. I was there the night before as well. Yeah, the student house is like about 2 doors down.
Oh, okay.
And so I went home a little bit early, but there was no sleeping going on. It was deafening. So for the rest of it, it's like, oh, these guys are pretty good. I'm just listening from my bed there. But So it was fun. Had a good time on the Sunday, and it was a road testing for the format for this next show.
Sure.
Because I was singing and accompanying myself on viola. I'd never done that before.
Okay.
I'd sung in bands where there was another violin player or another cello player, and I'd sung and played guitar or bass or drums or whatever to sort of like accompany myself.
Yeah.
But I'd never done it on the viola.
So how many instruments do you play?
Oh, shit. Not that many, but a fair few.
All the strings?
No, Christ, no. I can only play the viola.
Okay.
I picked it up late in life.
Okay.
Like, I picked it up in my 30s.
You're confident enough on it to play and sing at the same time, so that's obviously, you've put a bit of work.
Well, the singing distracts from the playing.
Okay.
But they do both have to be in tune.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to play anything super technical because you're doing something else too, right? Yeah. They're not blown away by the viola. It's I hold my own, I guess. But no, I can't play the violin. I went straight for the viola because I just love the deeper sound.
Yeah.
And I can't play the cello. Yep. So
love the cello as well.
Yeah. Gorgeous, isn't it? Instrument. But cellists are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I bet.
A dozen. As are bloody violin players, especially in medical school. It's a freaking cliche. And viola, if you play the viola, it's like playing the bass in the rock band. As soon as you own the instrument, regardless of whether or not you can play it, you get the gig. Right? You buy the viola.
We need a viola player.
Yep. And any suburban orchestra, it's like, when I first took up the viola and I learned for a couple of years and I sat in an exam and as soon as people get wind that you've got it, it's like, oh, come join my orchestra, come join this, that,
it's
and the next
back
thing.
Door. It's the back door entry into the orchestra.
That's right.
Marvellous.
And they'll forgive you, like, a lot of wrong notes just to have you there. And I'm talking to the conductor when I show up. It's 2 weeks till the concert, and we're going to play Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, which is pretty tricky.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
the name's tricky.
Yeah, right. Can't even bloody pronounce it. And the conductor's like, I'm saying, are you sure you want me to do this? And they're like, you own a viola. You're in the concert. I'm like, okay, fine. So I just practice my ass off, and I really get a kick out of it. It's before that, it was mainly the sort of rock and roll kind of instruments, bass, guitar, drums.
Okay.
Over the years, I've played a lot of bands, and I just kind of had to learn the instruments that
I needed.
That's right. People would quit the band, and I guess I'm going to have to play bass now.
Yeah, cool.
And sing. And then, you know, the drummer quit, and I go, okay, you can play the bass, so I'll play the drums and sing. And learn it kind of that way. And so I guess it's just like, you know, fuck it, I'll have a go.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
cool,
I like jack of all trades, master of some.
Jack of all trades, master of some. Nice. Yeah. Like it. Well, keep yourself versatile. Someone will always have a need for you. That's
the idea, especially if you play the viola.
The viola. And speaking
that's my tip for you kids out there. Take out the viola.
And speaking of musicals, you've written and now performing another musical, one-man musical.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Tell us all about it. I know very little about this. I spoke to Brad Holder last weekend. Did a little bit of an interview on the podcast with him as well about what he's been getting up to and what he's got coming up. And he said, I said, anyone you think's interesting I should have a chat to, anything going on, I'm always keen to get someone on, right, so it's not just me rambling to myself on the podcast, talking shit. He said, yeah, I got this, now this guy's really interesting, he's written a one-man musical about a, this is all I know about it so far, a kid draws a penis on a piece of paper, and an adult sees it, and then there's, offended, I suppose, and then
that's the general thrust of it, yeah.
And we go through a series of different stages of different people seeing this picture and situation developing along the way. So
that's pretty much it, yeah.
You tell me where the idea came from.
Well, I've been writing theatre shows and rock songs for a long time, and I actually did a fringe show this year, that is 2018, at the start of the year, called Human Services, which took the piss out of the Department of Human Services,
lovely,
i.e. Centrelink,
yep.
And I did it with a bunch of young people and singers that I knew from Perth, and we had a fun time. It was really good. We did one show in like the previous year in like November, and then we did it again at Fringe World Festival in Perth this year, and that went pretty well. Yeah. So I thought I'll give it another crack.
Okay.
But I'm getting rid of all you assholes because it's just too much work. I mean, I love them, but it's just, well, for starters, I'm up in Headland and I can't rehearse with anyone else.
Sure, yeah.
And if I don't have to show anyone else, I don't have to write anything down. And sure, that saves heaps of time, except maybe the words.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you write music rock bands will play by ear, jazz bands play by ear, everyone else, they need charts.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And so that's pretty time consuming. But anyway.
So the music's in your head?
The music's in my head, yes, at the moment. Yeah, and occasionally I forget. If I haven't rehearsed for a few weeks, it's like, oh, Christ, what's that fucking chord again? And then that is the beauty of recording stuff on your phone.
And I suppose the more people you've got involved, the more moving pieces, the more people you need to coordinate and maybe sometimes babysit a little and things like that.
Yes, you hit the nail squarely on the head, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not all that good at it. I just want the result.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe my people skills are a little bit lacking.
Coordination's a job on its own, really, isn't it?
Right, it is. And if you're doing all the artistic, making those decisions and
you're
making
to drain that artistic mind with all the moving pieces and logistics.
That's right. My mind is for higher tasks, David, and I'm not going to put up with your shit and teenagers. Like, no, they're nice people, but this year I just decided to trim the fat, as it were.
Sure.
And but the subject matter. So that's the format. Yeah, I decided.
That's the format,
fuck it. I'm going to do a one-man music. I'm going to play the goddamn viola. It's going to be easy. Yeah, and I'm going to. The previous show was like a Gilbert and Sullivan style musical.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Privates of Penzance.
Okay, yeah.
Heard of that?
Yeah.
HMS Pinafore.
Okay.
HMS Pinafore was made more famous by The Simpsons.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Bart Simpson says to Sideshow Bob before he's about to slit his throat on a boat. It's like, wouldn't you've got a beautiful voice. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, okay.
Would you mind singing me the entire score of the HMS Pinafore? And so Bob says, very well, Bart, I'll send you to heaven before I send you to hell.
I remember that he was trying to kill Bart's auntie, Patty.
Pretty much everyone in the family at some point, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, but HMS, so that's Gilbert and Sullivan. And so I wrote a show, a comedy opera like that. And this show, I thought, I'm going to update the style of music. It's going to be modern songs.
Okay.
So we've got a rap song. We've got a punk song.
Nice.
We've got a disco song.
Oh.
When I say modern, I guess I probably mean the 70s. But anyway,
sure.
Close enough, right?
Yep.
There's a jazz song. There's a couple of them. There's a ballad. There's a hair metal song.
Okay, nice.
Maybe Twisted Sister, and there's a death metal song.
Love Twisted Sister.
Yeah? Sweet. Yeah. We're not going to take it and all that.
Very corny now, you look back, but I like
it. Oh, it's great. Good. And, it gives you an idea of the sort of breadth there.
The subject matter.
The subject matter. I've been trying to avoid talking about. No, you're right. It can't be avoided. Do you remember?
When people didn't get upset about everything.
Right. I'm a bit over it myself. But the thing is there was a very specific thing that happened, and that's. Now this is a little divisive. I don't know how all your listeners are going to feel about this, but I feel we should be free to discuss these things. So, whilst I don't want anyone to get too offended, at the same time, I'm kind of deliberately offending people to make a point on this show. But anyway, Bill Leake got in trouble. Do you remember Bill Leake, the cartoonist? He's now dead, but he got in trouble for a particular cartoon that he drew. And he got in trouble with the Human Rights Commission. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He used to do the his comic strip in the Sunday Times. Is that the guy?
I can't remember who he drew for. I think it was the Australian.
Australian. It was a weekly cartoon, little comic strip. Political satire.
You're right. I remember quite a bit about the episode, but elements of his career I don't know in detail. Okay. So I've got to look this up a bit more. But he was a political satirist. Cartoonist.
Yeah.
And he drew a cartoon, which I won't go into the detail of, but basically caused a lot of controversy. And people made complaints to the Human Rights Commission.
Okay,
Which they do simply by filling out an online form at no personal cost. Yep. And once that complaint is made, the Human Rights Commission is forced to investigate.
Follow it up.
And he massively got dragged over the coals for this. Now, luckily he has the lawyers of the News Limited Corporation behind him to defend him. But it could have gone a lot worse. But it, essentially, a year after this, he died of cancer. So the last year of his life was marred by all these legal troubles,
And people telling him he's a horrible person, and
exactly, accusing him of all sorts of things, his whole reputation came under fire, so the Human Rights Commission did that to him, and basically there are a bunch of people who get paid a lot of money by the taxpayer to sit around and, in my opinion, do fuck all and sort of tell us all what we can and can't think and write and do.
Yeah, and what we should be offended about, what's offensive. And there's this whole culture around now of people just waiting to get offended by things.
Exactly. Lurking. Oh, that is a brilliant term.
It's not my term. That's Joe Rogan's term. I better just throw that out
Recreational outrage. I've never heard that.
Outrage, yeah.
I was just going to look a sport. Up Joe Rogan did. Oh, absolutely. Joe it's entertainment. For these guys, and they don't give a fuck.
That's right. And
about the
say,
awful consequences for some
form
people.
They fill out. It could be a blog. It could be a form. It could be an Instagram or Facebook post or whatever it is. But people, everyone has access now.
That's
voice,
right.
Which is great, but at the same time, there's a lot of fuckheads out there, and they've got a keyboard and a computer, and they can put their two cents out there. Very easy to do.
Yeah.
And if you get 100 people in a room, right? The chances that one of those people are going to be a complete fucking idiot is 100%. One person out of 100 is going to be an idiot, right?
Oh, I'd say, yeah, you're underestimating it there, but with absolute certainty, there'll be at least one dickhead, yeah.
Exactly. So we extrapolate those numbers across the country, across the globe. Everybody's got a computer, speaking within, obviously,
everyone's got a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't, they have a phone.
Yeah. Everyone's got a computer or a phone. Everybody's got a voice. There's a lot of people in that, once that number's extrapolated, they're just fucking morons. And they've got access, they've got a voice, they can say what they want, they can get out there, and then they can start little groups, and people can jump in their group, and they can get some force and traction behind them and make other people do something about their complaint and what they're upset about. And this is what's going on. This is part of the beauty of technology and
recreational outrage. Yeah. Yes, that's a good one.
It's a sport. You're bored, you're sitting at home.
Let's just get pissed off about something. Yeah, so this show is basically a piss take of outrage culture, but specifically... It's about how some people, in their outrage, just think that it's perfectly reasonable to call on the power of the state,
the powers that be,
to shut down conversations, whatever to it is shut that down them. Debate. It's that, in my opinion, you've got a democratic right to be a complete dickhead if you want to and rant and rave. It is super annoying a lot of the time, but I think Twitter and the internet, generally speaking, whilst it's brought out the bad side in a lot of people, it's given people access to a lot of information they didn't have before.
Sure.
Formed communities of people who previously would have been really lonely and felt isolated because their view was different to what's in the mainstream media.
It's also helping us see people we didn't know anything about, other cultures and other countries and races and things like that, see what we've got in common with them.
Absolutely.
Oh, these people aren't complete fucking aliens to me. We're very similar. So that gets rid of a lot of hatred and draws people and communities and things like that together. So that's another great thing. But, you know, one of the byproducts of it is that people can go on there and have a whinge about anything.
Absolutely they can. And some people will whinge to the authorities, you know, and...
You can't say no.
Yeah, or just have your rant. Just go online and have your rant. Say how you don't like something. But the minute you call the cops on someone for saying something, you've crossed a line. I mean, George Orwell, in his book 1984, was so ridiculously prescient. You know, he had the foresight to see all this coming.
Yeah,
and we really do have. Thought has become a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
And what makes it a crime? Yeah. What makes it a crime?
If you don't think the same way as the people that you're supposed to think the same way as, all of a sudden you're doing something wrong. You're a bad person. You're not allowed to have a difference of opinion.
And it's as wishy-washy as that. The thing is, it's not like this thought is wrong, that thought is wrong. That would be bad. Yeah. That would be really bad. That would be bad enough, but at least it would be clear.
Yes, this is right.
Now,
is wrong,
what makes it illegal is if someone takes offence to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is such a fluffy definition. Anyone takes offense to everything the fucking time.
That's right, yeah.
And legit, that's enough to be hauled before the courts. Or, strictly speaking, the Human Rights Commission is not a court. But it's which makes it even weirder.
Yeah,
like
if it
was the court, you'd have the presumption of innocence. It's this bizarre kangaroo court. It shouldn't even be there.
Probably a presumption of guilty of being guilty if you're there.
Absolutely,
you're guilty because you're here.
If you get someone, you have to explain yourself.
Yeah, explain yourself. Yeah,
it's like being before the bloody headmaster, you know, when you're a kid.
It's funny you're saying that because when you were saying these people go to the authorities or they call the cops on you, it's kind of made me think to that kid at school that runs and dobs on everyone. That's what they're doing. They're dobbing. It's not enough to say, I disagree with you, I don't like your point of view, this is why, this is my opinion, this is why I think you're wrong.
Mm.
That's a discussion, that's a debate. Two people can have that discussion and then they can walk their separate ways and go, okay, fine, that's what that person thinks.
Oh.
But to run off and dob on someone else, I mean, I don't like what he's saying, make him stop. That's not what freedom of speech is. That's not the country that we live in.
Absolutely. But the sad thing is, Dave, it is the country that we live in.
It's trending that way at the moment.
No, my friend, it's already there.
You reckon? You don't think we're going to swing back? The pendulum's just swinging one way,
Public opinion is one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Politicians are particularly good at annoying it. I agree with you that public opinion is swinging away from it.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I'm doing this show. I think there'll be an audience.
Yeah.
But
the
institutions are already there.
Yeah.
They're enshrined in law,
and they
have the power.
You're a part of You're a part of the university system here in this country. I don't know much about it. I never went to university. What I do know is that in America, the higher education system is entrenched with the left-wing politicians, and they teach the things they teach students in college in America. And it comes from academics, and then it's pushed out into the world through the upper echelons of society. Is that something that's happening in our country, or is it come from a different perspective? Are these things sort of pushed and expected and perhaps even taught in our university systems in Australia? Is that more subtle?
Yes, is the answer. The short answer is yes. I'm not studying an arts degree.
Sure.
So I think they're particularly notorious for being left-wing, yeah?
Yeah.
And paradoxically, even though the arts is supposed to teach you to be a free thinker.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the most liberal way of thinking. It's quite the opposite. But even in medicine...
And left-wing politics used to be very accepting as well of outside fringe ideas and new ways of thinking, and they seem to be very militant these days.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't think the same as us, you're a bigot or a racist or something, you know, whatever it happens to be. And that's not what the left was about, typically. They're kind of very extreme this day and age, aren't they?
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, if you look at Antifa in the United States, for instance, which have their branch organizations out here, they're practically a bunch of brown shirts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the thugs that would go out there on behalf of Hitler and, like, smash up Jewish shops and publicly intimidate people
strong
who didn't...
Strong-arm the public, yeah.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah.
And certain people... in the more respectable spheres of politics, they're just letting it happen.
Yeah.
And the police stand by.
They're probably scared of being turned on by the mob, people in politics, would you think?
They might not necessarily be behind it, but they're certainly letting it happen because it indirectly helps them.
Yeah, okay.
If their political opponents are intimidated into silence...
Sure. Sure.
Then that helps them. So they're perfectly willing to let it happen, and they're perfectly willing to allow the police to charge. If a speaker comes to town that they don't agree with, they'll charge them.
Yeah.
If the cops have to visit there, it's outrageous.
There's been this thing in Australia over the last couple of years of certain people, speakers and things, not being allowed entrance to the country because they've been said that they're promoting hate speech and not allowed to speak in certain places, public forums or education facilities because they're promoting hate speech. And even hate speech is a weird word, but even if that person does have a negative message, you combat that with an argument, not by banning them, not by outlawing it. You say, okay, come and tell us what your ideas are. There are all these people here, these smart, educated young people with their own brains, their own ideas, their own morals, are going to formulate a retort to that and show people who they're involved with and show the world why they think that idea is wrong, not just ban it and close the door. That's dangerous. That's when ideas go underground and can build speed and force underground like that.
I agree, and it's also a sign of people are unable to defend their ideas in a public debate because they're wrong, and so they need to prevent the debate. And it's just really unhealthy for democracy.
Yeah. And then the development of people's minds. Like, if people are coddled the whole way through and then they can't stand up for themselves and present their own ideas against contrary ways of thinking, we're going to have a bunch of morons running around running the country.
Couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more, Dave. So that's why it's good that we've got forums like your podcast and just stuff on the internet or whatever, so we can
access to information.
Speak our minds.
Yeah, exactly. And we can share thoughts and get open, free speech going, you know?
That's right. But the authorities have to permit it. Like, ultimately, if free speech is illegal, people will find ways to shut it down. And I don't want to be too negative, but the thing is, free speech is the right with which you defend all your other rights.
Sure.
It's the first right.
Yes.
If you can't say what you think and you can't defend yourself with ideas, then you can't... All your other rights will be taken from you as well.
Exactly, sure.
And so it's absolutely fundamental. And it goes back to Magna Carta. It's a long tradition in the English-speaking world. And I don't care how offended or pissed off you are by what someone else has said, you must defend the right to free speech. There's an old adage that says, I disagree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think, practically speaking, in the modern world, it's like, if that's not your position, then you don't believe in free speech. If you extend it a bit more, if you only believe in free speech for what you agree with, then you don't believe in free speech.
No, with free speech means that there's going to be things people say, ideas people have that you are not going to like. It may upset you, offend you, or scare you.
Mm.
That's fine, because that means in the same breath there's going to be thoughts that you have that other people don't like and cannot stop you from having or saying.
Absolutely. Who do you think it comes back round to in the end? If you use the government to shut down your ideological opponent, who's going to protect you?
That's right.
When you're in the minority.
As soon as you're not standing in the right column, and it happens to people very quickly, they think they're in the right column, and then the winds shift, and all of a sudden you're standing in the wrong column, and now you're a horrible person.
You're glee.
You're in the human rights...
That's it.
Tribunal, whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah. Commission, but commission. Yeah, same deal. Whatever. Kangaroo court. And if you're not... Right, so it's all about tolerance. Tolerance is not about liking... something.
No.
Tolerance is about not liking something,
and
but
tolerating
still,
it.
Yeah, but still thinking, okay, you've got a right to do it, and yep. I'm not going to stop you. And if you are
checking the time,
you're right,
William James, keep going. Great.
And so if you're not into free speech, if you think people don't have the right to say things that offend you, then you're not into free speech, I'm afraid, and you should have a bloody good hard look at yourself, because you are going contrary to all the traditions that have brought you your freedoms right now.
Yeah.
And I mean that. Something that actually, like, legit offends you. Try and think of something that would really upset you. You have to feel in your heart that you would actually go into battle to protect that other person's right to say something that's actually really upset you.
Yeah.
That's what it really means.
Yeah.
It's an actual legit commitment.
Yeah, it is.
And so we've had a pretty serious discussion about free speech here.
We have.
But
it's good. It's good.
Which I've enjoyed.
Yeah. I'm good.
Nothing I enjoy more than getting on my soapbox a bit.
Yeah, that's it. I'm glad to have you excited, mate, and
cheers.
And getting the conversation going. This is what I want.
My pubes are standing on end.
Really?
I'm aroused.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Well, most. The vast majority.
Well, so in that vein, in that thought, I understand where your passion is now and what sparked you to write this musical. How does it tie in to that message, and how do you hope that affects people and gets them thinking with this specific musical about the drawing of a dick?
See, that's the point. You see, it's all very well to have a nice rant, and I love doing that, as you probably just worked out.
It's great, it's brilliant. It's good.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. I can see you've got the passion.
I'm trying to feed the fuel a little bit. Feed the fire.
Thank you, sir.
Keep him going.
But the idea with this show, that it was actually not going to be a lecture. It's entertainment. You know, you want people to pay money to come and check it out.
Yep.
You know, they've got to leave with a smile on their face. So, you know, the primary aim here is to give people a bit of a giggle.
Uh-huh.
And so the way we're going to do that is by giving them the world's biggest dick joke.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm proud to be carrying on a tradition of people like Puppetry of the Penis.
Yeah.
And, for instance, Barry Humphries, Australia's greatest comedian, with the character of Les Patterson.
Okay.
You know, it's dick jokes all the way.
Dick jokes all the
way. It's a long Australian tradition.
Ben Folds has referenced this techniques. If you can't hold, draw a crowd, draw dicks on the wall.
Right. Right. Well, exactly. So perhaps it's... I can't draw a crowd at the moment, so exactly what I'm drawing. I'm drawing dicks on the wall and hoping they show up. So, essentially, the story of this show is a kid draws a cartoon of a dick.
Yep.
And
as
he gets
we all, as we all have, all us
as
boys,
we all have.
All us boys have anyway.
Absolutely, it's perfectly. Well, I didn't.
No.
And I somewhat look down on people who actually have in real life. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, maybe I was a bit of a goody two-shoes. But now, as an adult, I'm reliving the youth that I should have had, and I'm drawing a whole bunch of dicks. Like, this kid draws a dick and gets into all sorts of trouble.
Sure.
One of his teachers fills out that online form, and then he has to go before the Human Rights Commission. And one by one, the commissioners come up and tell him off.
Yeah.
They have... they put all sorts of interpretations.
It's vulgar and disgusting.
Yes, extremely.
Yeah.
I've been preparing for this by listening to a lot of Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Okay.
Right? You know, we as much filth as possible. No.
Yeah.
And basically, each song, each commissioner comes up and sings a song. There's the race commissioner, there's the sort of gender commissioner.
Yep.
There's the gender fluid commissioner.
Yep.
There's the head of the committee, the president. Then there's the commissioner for religion. And then there's the kid's lawyer, and all of these people get a song in a different genre,
yeah.
And every song's a dick joke, and so in some way they put an interpretation on this innocent doodle, pun intended,
yeah.
And accuse the kid of the most heinous crimes, thought crimes, basically say, what is the matter with you, blah, 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 and he's like, I don't know, what's going on here, Jesus Christ, you know, like, the little kid is, a little bit taken aback by it all. Yeah. It gets in more than he bargained for. But that's basically the story, and he has to work a way out at the end.
Well, it sounds awesome, mate. And how long does this thing go for?
It's about 55 minutes, I think, last I looked. Minutes. It might actually be longer than that. I did a... Brett Holder up here has been really helpful, like having me a place to rehearse.
Legend, yeah. Yes,
top bloke. He's the same guy who gave me the gig at the Northwest Festival, and so he gave me the confidence to... do this show, and he gave me a place to rehearse, and I've actually workshopped it with him already a little bit, like given him, it's not completely written, but say like 85% written. I've given him a sort of impromptu sort of performance and got some feedback.
Yep.
And geez, I completely lost my train of thought.
It's all right. You're telling me the where it started, how it's going so far. You've been writing it. You've performed it for Brad, so it's about 55 minutes long. You've performed
it for Brad. That was it, the length, yeah. So it was a bit longer than I intended. That was it. Like, when I did it for Brad, so I might have to trim a bit of fat here and there. But I think the longer the better.
Yeah,
I mean, we want to get people value for money, but it's going to be put on at the Fringe World.
An hour's good. Yeah.
That's what I like about Fringe World shows.
Yeah.
And that sort of standard format of comedy festivals, be they in Edinburgh, be they in Melbourne, be they in Perth, you get a stand-up to go for about an hour.
It's good. Yeah. It's a good amount of time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And, like, you can either work three or four people through over the mic if normal stand-ups are pretty short.
Yeah.
Entry-level
sort of,
Right. You don't know how it's going
to
fly.
Exactly. An hour,
absolutely. Yeah. An hour's material... for a speaking word stand-up comedian is a lot
it's
of
a lot.
Material,
it's
right?
A lot. Yeah.
This songs make it a lot easier.
Sure.
You write a song, it takes up a good 4 or 5 minutes.
And there's spoken in between the songs as well then, so there's spoken parts of this play as well as
a little bit, most of the jokes come through with the songs, but there's a bit of expository...
So the speaking talk set up and things like that.
Just a little bit,
narration and shit like that.
Kind of. Basically the characters speak to one another a little bit in between the songs just to clarify the story.
Sure.
Sometimes people don't always pick up on the lyrics when it's in a song and it's sung in a funny accent. It goes past real quick.
Yeah.
So, you kind of got to repeat some sort of key plot points so people know what's going on.
Sure.
And crack a few jokes and what have you. But it's mainly about the songs. And I'm really enjoying doing it. Hey, when I started to write comedy, because I was in bands for years, and then like I started to move across to comedy and theatre.
Yeah.
Because it's getting blood out of a stone playing in bands is lust. Basically, the entire time I've been doing it, it's very difficult because, you know, downloading and what have you. It's cut off a lot of career opportunities.
Sure.
So you kind of got to diversify, right?
And you're back to that dealing with groups of people to produce the art as well, aren't you? Sometimes
that is true.
Sensitive people sometimes.
That is
or lazy
true.
People sometimes or whatever.
Yeah, see, you sound like you've been in a few bands yourself, Dave.
I mean, only mess around bands. I play drums. We had this conversation with Brad. I never done any gigs. Did any gigs or anything like that, but played music in bands and things like that through my teenage years and shit. So, been around a lot of musicians and
Right. Yeah.
I can understand how it's hard to get those things moving along sometimes. Everyone committed to the same focus, the same goal.
Yeah, exactly. And a stand up, all they got to do is take themselves. They don't even have to take the fucking mic. It's provided.
They just rock up.
No setup.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
negotiation. Rock up. Yeah. Do your thing. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like it's efficient.
Yeah.
And so sure, I have to show up with my viola.
Yep.
And it's got to have a pickup. That's it. Right.
Yeah. Still quite light traveling.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And I just got to. It's like a musical comedian has to take their guitar.
Yeah. Sure.
And I'm just getting a kick out of... Oh, yeah. When I was saying, like, I moved across to comedy and I tried to research it a bit more and I came across a quote. Comedy is not about a man saying funny things. Mm. It's about a funny man saying things.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can't just get up and be yourself and just try and make witty observations. That might work for Seinfeld. He invented that shit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I love going into a character and exploring that character and making that character a bit of a dick.
Yeah, sure.
And it just makes everything funnier.
And it helps you express points as well, a little bit outside the box, I suppose.
Completely. Wish I discovered this 20 years ago.
You can give control over to the character and he can say all sorts of shit that William would never say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And you put on a funny voice and people realise it's not you, it's acting.
This is crazy thing because... people get offended at stand-up comedy. I really love it. People get so offended at stand-up comedy, and I see the same parallel with like hip-hop music. People get so offended by things that rappers say in their music, right? It's fucking horrible. I can't believe he said that. It's misogynistic. It's this. It's that. It's a character. Quite often, it's a character. We watch Quentin Tarantino movies where they fucking shoot everybody in the room, you know, and then we watch.
They use the N word, the B word, and all the rest of it.
People are raping other people and all sorts of shit. Oh, but it's fine because it's entertainment. But then as soon as somebody stands there in one-on-one form and says something, it's as if that's what that person believes in their heart and soul. No, it's a show. That person said that. Maybe sometimes you are saying things that you believe in, but sometimes you're saying things because they're funny.
It's a fucking joke, for Christ's sake.
I had a thought. It was funny. I had to say that. I had to find a way to package that and give it out to
the job description.
It is the job description.
I had a thought. It was funny. I have to say it.
That's right. Or it dies. That thought dies. Yeah. No one else gets to hear it. Not the way I imagined it anyway. So don't get so offended. Fuck me. It's not a lecture at a university. It's a comedy show. Yeah, you go there to laugh, to let your guard down and relax a
little bit. That's right, that's right. And this show...
It is social commentary, but it is using the medium of comedy, yeah.
That's right, and it's gonna push some buttons a bit, but like...
Freedom of speech, mate.
Yeah, that's right. And, but the thing is, it is part of Fringe World Festival, and one of the characters is a trans character, which I... It's my duty to take the piss out of.
Sure.
Right? I mean... because I mean the joke with him is like he's the commissioner for like LGBTIQ or whatever trans people basically.
Yep.
Oddly enough, one people who got off scot free in my show is people who are gay.
Yeah.
I just completely forgot to take the piss out of them, so I'll have to take that up for next time.
Into the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this guy's trans, and you may well, let's not assume his gender. Or her gender? I don't know. Zia? Yeah, that's it.
And 78 of them. There's 78 of them in 78?
Canada. Oh, Christ.
And you can be prosecuted for using the wrong one. But, yeah.
Free speech, thank you, Justin Trudeau. Yeah. Real current tradition of the British free speech tradition.
Are you familiar with Jordan Peterson?
Yes, of course. Yeah. It's a legend. Yeah,
you know about his battle.
I'm hoping to have my own. It'd be hauled before the courts myself, and I get made famous by Jordan Peterson. Actually, I really don't, because it'd be a massive hassle.
Hey, we'll start local, mate. He went on the Joe Rogan Experience and blew up. You'll come on the Average Man podcast and fucking...
Average man, that's a bit of a misnomer. You're definitely above average.
Average man talking about above average things. That's the way I like to sell it. So. All
right. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a few little current events bouncing around here. Might as well bring up. While we're rolling. I thought I'd jump straight into it because one of them is the. I wanted to get your opinion on the Tasmanian government, what do you call it? They're obviously part of the federal government. The Tasmanian state government are looking at changing the law, the legislation, so that parents don't have to assign a gender to their child at birth anymore. So you can, which they've done in Canada as well, so you can have a non-gender-specific child. Yeah. What do you reckon?
That's madness, frankly. It's precisely because gender concepts in a child's mind are fluid that adults have to set them and set them firmly.
Sure.
A child, it's madness to expect a child to be able to negotiate all the difficult concepts by themselves from infancy.
Yes.
And it's complicated enough and hard enough for bloody adults.
Yeah.
And to expect a child to do that is nothing short of child abuse. I feel very strongly about this. I'm very upset that those people are doing that. And they are going to hurt a lot of kids, be it on their conscience, the cruelty that they will inflict.
Sure. Okay, that sounds fair. They're not giving freedom and a helping hand to these poor little infants that don't know whether they're male or female. They're adding another confusing, messed up decision to their plate to make.
Exactly. And they are expediting. They are making it easier for adults to impress. Adults who are frankly idiots, hippies, to use the latest trend to mess with their kid's head.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if your child was born with male genitalia, their sex is male. If they're born with female genitalia, their sex is female.
Yeah.
There are biological variations on that theme. For instance, we've learned about androgen insensitivity syndrome, where you might actually have XY chromosomes like a boy, but your tissues don't respond.
Sure.
So you develop into a human being that looks, for all intents and purposes, female, and is female in their brain development and their physical development, but sadly they're infertile.
Yeah.
So there are biological variations to this, but they're extremely rare. And
extenuating circumstances, not the norm or common.
That's right. And we've got ways of dealing with this within the framework that we currently have,
yep.
Which is perfectly good for the absolute vast majority of people.
Yep.
And I saw a great bumper sticker about this, and it's like, if you belong in this bathroom, and it's a picture of a man.
Yeah.
And you follow my wife or daughter into this bathroom, picture of a woman, then you're going to need this bathroom, picture of the disabled bathroom.
And that is the problem, mate. I don't really
care.
Women
become the victim here.
Yeah, I don't really care if...
They've given this no thought.
If you know, Barry, you know, is 110 kilos with his massive, you know, beard and beer gut, feels that he's a woman all of a sudden, wants to be called, you know, something else, and feels that, and that's what he feels, and wants to I'll even call him a woman, mate, I don't care myself.
Sure.
But the minute Barry walks into the toilet after my daughter, we've got a problem, man.
Absolutely. We've and got a problem. Good on you, Dave. You've thought the fucking thing through about the consequences for children.
Yeah.
This is not just about adults accessorizing culture so that they can look cool. These have real, real big consequences for innocent children.
Yeah.
So I object to that in the strongest terms. Question, please.
Good, okay. Well, let's see. I heard recently on the news that they've tried to implement this pill testing at another one of the festivals recently, and the local government state government has put a stop to them doing that. So they've tried it out. I think they tried it out in Canberra earlier in the year, and they had huge success. They had a pill testing tent. Kids who were taking ecstasy could go to the tent at the festival, get their drugs tested, and see what was in it. And apparently, a large number of kids threw their drugs out because it didn't have, you know, because it had dangerous chemicals in there and low percentage of the drug that they were supposedly consuming. Kept people safe with taking drugs that they're already getting hold of and they're already taking into these festivals anyway. I was wondering what your opinion is on that, the government putting a stop to them doing these tests on the pills in an attempt to keep people who are already taking drugs safe while doing so.
It's a fine line, isn't it? Because whilst the government doesn't want to be seen to be approving of kids taking drugs, they're taking drugs
already.
And by the way, I think if you are taking ecstasy and listening to house music, you're a bit of a twat. But anyway, It's
Or you're just young.
In other words, a twat. But anyway, you know, we had you do get quite a few deaths, don't you?
You do.
And I really don't think
especially if people are too scared to go to any authorities or anything like that when things start going wrong that I'm going to
get
in trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't
want to get in. Yeah, why? Wow, yeah, your kids are having a seizure or something like that. Yeah.
It should need to be a safe place they can go. They need to be able to just test the drugs and say, look, what you're taking.
Well, I think prevention is better than cure. Yeah. And if those machines are actually I hadn't come across maybe I'm not across it, but I hadn't. You know, if those machines are accurate,
they are fairly accurate,
telling the kids that there's actually heaps of rat poison in this pill you're about to take, then I see that as a pretty positive thing. In which state is this being outlawed, or?
I don't know.
I think New South Wales had a debate about this about after that festival, people got hurt. And the Labor government, or whatever the government was, came down firmly against it. But, I have to say that I think I broadly support those tents. You know what I mean? Like, we have ambulances there. We've got the prevention, but we've got the cure, but we don't have the prevention.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if you're gonna,
I also feel that we've got the information and the technology, and it's not right to hold that back from people and from kids when it's available there.
Quite right, and we should make the fucking if there's an objection of cost, make the bloody organisers of the event pay for it.
Yeah, well that's right. They're cleaning up.
You know, they're making a shit ton of money, and they're indirectly encouraging kids to take drugs because you have to take drugs to enjoy that shit music, right?
It could be a rock concert.
Be a rock concert. Yeah, yeah. In which case,
Willen, give me 2 minutes here.
Yeah,
I'm just going to. Okay, we're back. Little hiccup in the recording process here. Went over the hour. Had to just jump onto the next segment, but that's cool. The pill testing. Let them do it.
I reckon. Let them do it.
Okay. Kid died on Leavers last week. Over in, I think it was in on the sunny coast. Had doing Nangs. They think so, that it was doing Nangs and then fell off a balcony, and they found his body the next day. What do you think about that?
Well, that's obviously very sad.
It's very sad, isn't it? I thought that was awful. I thought it was something I needed to speak about. Because these kids go out, mate, like, your kids just finished high school, they've been looking forward to this for months and months, or maybe even the whole year. Parents, the last thing you say when they send them out the door, look after yourself, you know, don't do anything stupid, make sure you stay safe, you know, you say, I hope their friends all look after each other, and then doing something silly and just stupid and something that, you know, a lot of kids have been involved in, you know what the Nangs are, the nitrous oxide little canisters, I think,
laughing gas.
Cream and
yeah, that kind of stuff.
You know what it is, you can get them, the people, kids use them for like the canisters for whipped cream canisters. And doing some Nangs and then falling off the back into his death, mate. I thought that was just fucking horrible.
It is fucking horrible. The poor kid. I mean,
and the friends, but the family.
You're gonna. But there's a lot of things cause death by misadventure apart from Nangs.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Alcohol would be the main thing to make you lose your balance, I would have thought.
I say alcohol is probably involved in that situation as well. I don't know why they decided to
focus on the Nangs and the media Nangs. Coverage.
Yeah. Media coverage is quite sketchy sometimes, isn't it? But
yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you'll find that he would have been an underage drinker.
Yeah.
And it may well be his first experience with alcohol on a fucking...
On that scale, perhaps.
Because I went to school, he's at the Gold Coast when I was a kid, and that was legit, that was my first experience with alcohol.
Really?
But I wisely did it at ground level, so I didn't have very far to fall. But this poor bastard has fucked up.
Look, as sad it is, I truly think it's fucking horrible, but you hear these stories of people falling off balconies when they're you know, pissed or intoxicated or whatever, and as much as I think that sucks and it's sad, I always kind of think at the same time, like, come on, man, like... How do you fall off a fucking balcony as an adult?
I know. I mean, are you fucking sitting on the handrail? Like,
and how did nobody know?
What?
So they didn't know. It's not like his friends called the police. They found his body in the morning.
Fuck's sake.
Like, it's
Oh, God.
It's hard to stay alive. Like, fuck me. Like.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Nangs, it's already illegal to, or is it? It's not illegal to buy Nangs. I don't know if it's illegal. I don't even know if it is illegal to toke them.
One of those weird loophole things. Yeah.
Right, but, you know, I think that kid...
Is it illegal to sniff paint? I don't know. You can obviously buy paint. Kids sniff it as well. It's one of those weird substances.
Right, chroming or whatever the fuck they call it. Yeah.
People die doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, fucking... It's that. That's just a super sad thing.
It is,
in my view.
Really,
I'm not sure what we can do to prevent it. You can't fence in every balcony on the bloody Gold Coast.
No, no.
But I do think that, yeah, I mean, you do expose yourself to dangers as a young person, you know, getting involved in these kind of atmospheres, and you got to do the fucking basics.
You got to have the.
You know, you got to come back from school this week. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Keep it together enough.
Keep it together enough. I'm with
I don't want to blame this guy. I don't want to blame the victim here. You know.
But friends are gonna look after each other too.
Yeah, they do, absolutely. And that's the thing, you get yourselves into this situation together. So get yourselves out of it together.
Yeah.
You know, help each other out.
I agree. Okay, we'll move along. Jared Hayne, been accused of another sexual assault case. And my first thought when I hear celebrity...
Hang on, wait up. Is this guy an AFL player?
Rugby league.
Oh, okay, right.
Rugby league player. So when I hear of sports stars, you know, like...
Are they all like rapists?
Well, they often get accused of it. And I sometimes think...
Sorry, rugby league players out there. You're large men. Don't kick the living shit out of me next time you see me.
But... How much of it is they're just running around raping, and how much of it is that there's people get themselves into certain situations, and then which happens sometimes. Girls get themselves into a certain situation that they don't like the way it went or felt the next day, and then all of a sudden the situation can be spun a different way. This guy, him and the girl were involved texting back and forth. They were going to meet up together to hook up. And then apparently things got a little bit rough during the sex, and then in the morning she said that he sexually assaulted her. He didn't hit her or anything like that. I think he bit her. And then the next morning she's accused him of rape because she was drunk, so it was non-consensual and it was rough house. So... things get a little
sounds
bit
like you
sticky.
Need to come to my show, bro. Because the disco song is called Everything Is Rape.
That's sort of what I was
Everything
at.
Is Rape.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Everything's fucking rape.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you always feel the need to hear the end of the story. You're telling me this, and I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, sexual assault's a serious thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is. In states in America, in countries that have the death penalty, rape also has the fucking death penalty. This is how seriously we take it.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
It's just as bad as murder. It's the worst thing a human can do to another human, yeah?
Sure.
Or maybe second worst after murder. But we've ranked it the same. It's got the same fucking penalty, yeah?
Right.
That's how serious it is. But it, you know, I mean, honestly,
there's levels with sexual assault, isn't there? Like, murder's murder. If you kill someone, then they're dead, then you murdered them.
You can't be a little bit dead, can you?
No.
But, like...
sexual assault has...
Like you can't be a little bit pregnant. No. It's a binary thing. It's a zero or it's a one.
Yeah.
But yeah, great.
So where on the spectrum do these things fall?
Look, man.
Lives and careers.
You get into so much trouble talking about this stuff.
I'm not defending Jared Hayne. I just want to say that.
You don't know the details, and you probably never know the details.
I just think when I hear some of these stories, I think, okay, that sounds fucked up if that's how it went down. But, you know, I think, but let's not burn this guy alive because we don't know all the details.
Legit. The consequences for him are so dire.
Yeah, career
ending. Career ending and incarceration.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For life.
Yeah.
And, or whatever the penalty is. And, you know, this is such a controversial issue. People have real difficulties. I have a lot of trouble talking about it, so I wrote a song about it.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But the thing is, like, it's a super grey area about the intoxication.
They try to say that anything where the female is intoxicated, then she cannot consent, so it's rape, which is
actually. But how can you tell?
Ridiculous.
Like, you're going to breathalyze people, like. In terms of a practical problem, that's a fucking nightmare.
It's ridiculous. And what's the percentage of people that have been laid without alcohol?
Roughly zero.
Yeah. I know we've got a population problem, so maybe it's not a bad thing. But I mean, it's the two go hand in hand together throughout time. So what are we talking about?
You become disinhibited and blah 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 blah. And the fact is, a hangover where you feel regret, that's a fucking hangover. That's not rape.
Agree.
You know, and I don't know what exactly happened to this girl.
This specific case, but
this woman,
a wider conversation.
This woman who obviously deserves respect, but you know,
it's another one of these things you say that if you don't have the right opinion, if you don't say she said it was rape, so it's rape.
But you've thrown me under the bus here. I'm writing a show about this, man. The song's called Everything Is Rape.
That's it.
And it's the disco song. It sounds like I Will Survive. And it's the victim status. It's like, yeah. I'm the victim. And the lyrics that go along these lines, like, you know, rape, everything is rape. Everything that you do to me that bothers me minutely. My emotions are so very frail because I am a female. You know, like, I've got a whole pages and pages of this. And in the end, weaponizing sexuality in this way, I think, is not a good thing. We saw what happened to Justice Kavanaugh going for the Supreme Court in America. Yeah. A woman may well have been assaulted by someone at some stage, but had not even the tiniest shred of proof that this guy had done it, and had not even a remotely plausible story. It was full of holes. She could remember. She was absolutely certain about some things that night and couldn't remember the most basic details.
Yeah, was it 30 years ago?
More than that, 35. And the prosecutor who interviewed her made it clear that their case would never make it to court if there was anything even remotely resembling a presumption of innocence. But yet this guy had his and his family's reputation destroyed. And you know, thankfully they didn't win that battle. But
he's still red scarred by it. You never get that washed. You never wash that.
You never do. And you know what? She's just made $1 million on GoFundMe. Yeah. There is a massive incentive. For lying about this.
There is, yeah.
We have massively incentivized lying and we're not balancing that with a presumption of innocence on the other side. It's trial by media. Gerald Hayne probably won't recover from this in terms of his reputation. It'll always be hanging over his head now.
Yeah, it always will be.
For all intents and purposes, sounds like a consensual sexual encounter with the fucking rugby league player. Did you expect it to be gentle?
Sensual.
You know what I mean?
And do also...
I wouldn't have sex with a fucking rugby league player for exactly the same reason.
Yeah.
My asshole would hurt really fucking hard. I just don't go into that situation. You know, if you've been dragged...
I can hurt you shaking your hand, you know?
I know. Well, Jared Hayne probably could. Yeah,
that's what I mean. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Right.
Exactly.
What happens?
Look, but these rape, we take rape extremely seriously. And if you get cornered in an alleyway, and dragged off the street and beaten within an inch of your life, and have your innocence robbed from you, so for the rest of your life you're reliving this with PTSD, horrified, you can never trust men, can never enjoy sex, it ruins your entire life. We understand how fucked it is. That's why there's a law against it.
Yeah.
Can you guys also please take that law as seriously as we do?
Yeah.
And not just fucking make up these spurious complaints.
It's not on anybody. Beautiful. I love it. Love the passion.
Thank you. I wish, when I'm talking about it, I can't make jokes about it. I only make jokes about it when I'm writing songs because it's so serious.
It is, mate. And you said before about, do we really want to weaponize sex, and do we also want to take away power of women that they're victims all the time? You don't want to do that to them either. They don't have to be victims all the time because they were drunk. They couldn't consent. I'm married, right? I've got a sister.
Fuck this phone. Sorry.
Right. I'm married. I've got a sister. Things like that. Right. They're strong women, mate. If they wake up the next morning and they were drunk and they did something stupid, it's still their decision, still their choice, and they live with it. If you get drunk, drive a car and run someone over, you don't go to court and say, oh, it's not my fault, I was drunk. No, they throw you in prison because you were drunk and you drove and you killed someone. If you get drunk,
your choice, you make an excellent point, Dave, go on.
Yeah, exactly. When you're drunk, the decisions you make when you're drunk are still your decisions. You can't wake up the next day and say, I actually regret that. He shouldn't have taken advantage of me. That was rape. No, because if you drove home from his house that night and hit somebody, you're going to go to jail for it the next day after, you know, through the court system, because you're still the same person. You're still responsible for your decisions when you're drunk.
Absolutely. Even if those decisions are to bang rugby league players.
That's right.
Which is unwise most of the time. But, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you make an excellent point. If you are intoxicated, you're still responsible for the decisions you make.
That's it. Yeah. Well,
that got heavy.
It did. Fuck. You got heavy, William. And look, mate, I've got a bunch of other little things in there I don't think we need to go into. We've had a good chat. I feel fucking... It's good, mate. You're very good. You're good at talking. You're good to...
Thanks, Dave. I think you're bringing out the best in me.
Put the bear with a stick a little bit and let him come out. I enjoy that. It was fucking really, really, really interesting, mate. I had a great chat with you. before I let you go, we touched on the musical... obviously, you told us what it's about and what has inspired it. Where's it going to be performed? How can people get involved to see it? How can people help support you? What can people do?
Okay, well, the first place to go is the Facebook page.
The Facebook page.
Facebook.com/Human Rights One Man Musical.
Facebook.com/Human Rights One Man Musical.
That's it. Go there and like the page. You'll get some updates.
Right, like it and share it.
Yep, including I'm going to share this podcast when it comes out.
Great, lovely.
And that's the start. And so if you're in Headland and you want to see the preview show, which is Thursday the 6th of December.
Okay.
7:30 p.m. at PCC Productions in Wedgefield.
Lovely.
Then message me at that page, and yep. I will put aside a seat for you. It's free. Because the show is basically finished, but still kind of work in progress. Needs a bit of spit and polish. So we're just doing this as a preview show.
Yeah, get some feedback. Yeah, lovely. Yep.
And then if you're FIFO or you visit Perth and you're in Perth between February 11 and February 17, please come down to the actual Fringe World show.
Yep.
Which is at... Rosie O'Grady's Comedy Hub at Rosie O'Grady's, which is the Irish pub just across the road from the main Fringe Park.
Okay, yeah.
The Pleasure Garden.
Rosie O'Grady's, yep.
And then that's from Monday to Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday we're at a place closer to Central Perth Station, which is called Studio Startup Basement. So they're both very central venues. Come down, buy yourself a ticket from fringeworld.com.au.
Yep.
And come and enjoy the show, and hopefully you guys get a kick out of it if you're down in Perth.
Mate, if anybody's interest wasn't piqued beforehand, like I'm sure it is now, I'm fucking stoked. I'm just trying to figure out babysitters and shit like that for Thursday night so I can come down and check it out. I want to see this thing.
I got
down.
A feeling you'll like
really,
it, Dave.
Yeah,
hopefully you can make it.
I'm
not going to say bring the kids, though.
No, I can't bring the kids down. They're too young anyway. They'll just run amok. I need to figure out something so they can, I don't know, the missus is busy on Thursday night, so I need to get someone to look after the kids so I can get out and come down and check it out as well, man. I'm fucking, sounds awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so, and any other way people can support you, help you, any other projects you got going on, anything,
This is kind of it. Just please come to the show, like the page, through that I've got nothing else going on really. I mean, the Albert Jacka musical sort of on hiatus. There's no other website with which you can support me and like it, but so this would be a moist. If your listeners see fit to go on and liking that page and just showing me some support
love.
And buying your ticket, which is, of course, financial support,
yep.
That would be just amazing. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks. And you're leaving the Pilbara soon? This is it?
I am. I'm very sad about it. In only about 3 or 4 days, I leave I go to Perth, I visit my family on the East Coast, and then I go on a medical elective in South Africa. Like, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing, assisting in a brain surgery in Cape Town.
Jeez.
That'll be a fucking adventure.
Yeah.
A few bullet holes and machete
That'd
wounds.
Be a fucking trip, man.
I know, right? It's going to be nuts. Going to go on safari. So, I mean, I've got I'm super lucky.
And you're busy. You're fucking saying multi-talented, mate. Obviously, you're driven. You're out there doing shit. You're taking something away from Headland with you. You're taking this show with you, which is
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. I'm so stoked to have developed it here. It's written here. It was a thought bubble in June.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wrote some songs that got played at the Marble Bar Ball, actually, in the middle of the year. Yeah, I play them there, and on the guitar, not the viola, but that from my stay at Yarra Station. And, yeah, the juices got flowing, so I wrote, you know, Port Hedland's first Fringe show. So I'm stoked about
awesome,
that.
Man.
And I hope to come back here, man, when I get a job in a couple of years. I really like it here, you know.
Yeah.
I like the people. They're legit. They're friendly. They're hardworking, man.
And it's a good feel. A good feel around town. It's good not having any stoplights or anything like that as
well. Oh, my God.
You can drive out an hour and a half out of town to be somewhere like Cape Croydon, you know. And
fuck yeah.
So, or fucking Coppins Gap or wherever it may be, you know. So it's beautiful for that as well.
Yeah, the first set of traffic lights back in Perth, I'm going to be grinding my teeth. I'm going to be like,
horrible, mate. You're driving down?
No, flying down.
Yeah, I'm driving down 19th of December for Christmas break, going down with the family, take 3 weeks off, so looking forward
lovely.
To that.
Lovely.
Well, mate, really appreciate your time. It was nice to meet you. I'm spewing I didn't get to catch the Anzac-inspired musical at the Northwest Fest, you know. I wanted to get there a bit earlier that day. I did see your name there and look you up then, because I was looking to do some interviews with some of the other local artists for the Northwest Fest, but just sort of didn't get anything happening in time, and did the one with Hands Like Houses.
That's all right, Dave. Yeah, I mean, there was other way bigger acts on, and I can always send you a bit of the video that was done.
I love it, mate. Yeah, I love it. I'll share it on the page and shit as well, you know. So
wicked. Who knows? We may do Jack of EC at the Matt Dam Theatre one of these days. Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well,
bring the pyro as well.
Nice to meet you.
You too, Dave. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
Take it easy.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.